Rays of Emerald is the title of a story by Zeke Kralin, who lives in a little apartment in San Francisco and listens to my show over the web when he can get adequate web access, because he's got a little antenna for his router in the window. And downstairs and across the street, there's a coffee shop that has Wi-Fi, and that's how he gets web access. So sometimes it doesn't work. Rays of Emerald, Zeke Kralin writes, another true tale from the Castro, eat your heart out, Armistead. Since Larkin's incredible scenario of June 11, the last time our auras clashed, I've been carrying around a folded printout of my email to Twin Peaks Tavern asking them to welcome him back. See my blog entry previous to this called Hug of the Century, linked above. The email is at the very end. It's a great letter and optimizes the odds in Larkin's favor, though since I am convinced this is a joke being played upon me by many members of the Castro scene, Twin Peaks will soon have him back anyways, with moi, the most welcome guest of all. I do suspect they've already made copies of my email and are passing it around the bar, having a good guffaw, as they no doubt did with my postcard flurry 2 years back. And I'm sure Larkin is there too, tickled pink or whatever color a reptilian starship commander's scales turn to when he's highly amused. By now you've concluded that I'm pissing in my pants, eager to get that copy of the email to Larkin ASAP, even though I haven't spoken such in this missive you're now reading. Until this, my fifth sentence. Yes, my excrescent reader, I'm securing the letter to my person or backpack or occasionally a tote bag every time I step out, awaiting the moment my perplexing plesiosaur appears before me once again like a vision from Triassic Eden. And that moment just occurred short minutes ago, 9:05 p.m., as precisely as I can guess. After running upstairs, then bumping into my neighbor Michael and chatting him about Larkin for a spell, and finally entering my room and looking at the Sony Clock Radio's digital display, 9:14. It has been almost 3 weeks since I emailed that request, just 4 or 5 days longer than the time I've been carrying that electronic missive about. But this evening, this frabjous evening, no sooner had I exited through the front gate than here he comes barreling down the sidewalk, hunched up, and all slinky-like, and kind of shabbily clothed tonight. I guess he was in one of those incognito or shadow chameleon moods, especially in regards to yours truly, for whom he desires not to notice his presence quite often. Yet, frankly, deep within that whittle heart, I'm sure he craves the opposite. I've never seen him look ruddy-cheeked before, though I've certainly seen him hostile more than just this one time. It honestly isn't part of the look I've come to adore in all his various expressions. Don't know why, but it jars me. So there he was, looming large in my reality, then passing by as swiftly as possible, though the partying throngs scattered about as they lingered between bars and clubs made for a slow passage. I was momentarily stunned by his ghostly tentacles, like some deceased cephalopod come to haunt me, but I was by now immune to his venomous discharge. Thus I speedily recovered with more than enough split seconds to call loudly from behind, "That was quite a spectacular roasting you gave me the other night." Sucking in my breath to exhale the second part like a demon exorcised, I embellished, "You deserve an Oscar." Larkin had barely progressed more than 20 feet beyond where I first sighted him. The clots of revelers were that thick. Yet with hindsight, I can't help but believe he intentionally slowed down to grant me just enough time to blurt out my prepared bon mot before drifting beyond my orbit. I still had yet to hand him the copy of my papal dispensation, and he was about to cross 16th Street. I managed to encroach amid the dense throng another few steps, then bellow these words toward Larkin, who now stood balancing his feet on the curb, eager to distance himself as soon as the light changed, or perhaps waiting patiently for me to speak my final lines. "Hey, I got a gift for you. It's a printout of the email I sent to..." It was a brief scene he had scripted this time around, and my dialogue a mere five sentences. In fact, I was the only character with any spoken words at all. If you don't count the outdoor revelers whose voices were blurred background ambience. Anyway, I knelt down halfway to retrieve the baggy sealed envelope from my tote bag, while I arched my neck upward to project my voice over and beyond the fluctuating wall of flesh. "I sent to Twin Peaks Tavern!" I stopped, realizing that the light had just turned green, and the crowd was now surging forward along with Larkin. So I quickly stood erect once more, this time with the exculpatory missive in hand, waving it at a receding Larkin who refused to glance back. I boomed forcefully above the din of traffic and laughter, asking them to welcome you back. By now, Larkin was more than halfway across to Noe Street, and I had barely progressed another yard, but my lungs are strong. My words carry far, and surely he heard, "I hope it works." I stood watching as he reached the corner where Noe, 16th, and Market intersect on the northwest point, expecting him to vanish in another moment. Suddenly he paused, turned around to look directly back to where I was standing by the bus shelter, still waving. I smiled with unbridled joy while he stared back, either poker-faced or peeved, it was too far to tell, though his button eyes ran a straight target to my own. Just as suddenly, after maybe 3 seconds of unabashed glaring, he turned away and took several steps before, guess what? He took an about-face and ogled me again. Is ogle the right word here? I sure hope so. Though he still was not too distant to hear me speak, if I belted out my words like a platoon sergeant, I simply waved once more and smiled. Finally, he turned away and disappeared around the corner, and I rushed home to write it all down. That's when I bumped into my neighbor Michael on the carpeted stairway. For your information, my drupacious reader, I write down every encounter with Larkin as a matter of record, for his spirit is momentous, as is our association, at least in my universe. Everything's an adventure of the highest order, with my brassy brachiosaurus, and I just can't keep my quill resting in the well, thanks to his inspiration. Imagine having someone in your life who always makes you feel like the luckiest sentient being in all possible universes. I rest my case. Michael! Michael! I just saw Larkin. Standing mid-stairs, Michael turned back toward me and grinned, waiting for me to share new information that he could take to Starship Central next time they beam him up, which is in a day or two, so really, really soon. So I emit data. That is, I blabber on. Larkin did this, and I did that, and then I did this, and Larkin didn't do that, and then he did both this and that simultaneously, so I was struck holding the old maid card as usual, because I, in non-response, did neither this nor that. I did other. What else could I do? Though I took all of several minutes just to tell Michael what it took me only those two sentences above to write down, and he had to go to work. Even though I had him in stitches, well, at least I kick-started his night with a burst of sunshine and positivity in my own weird, gay, gothic, cyberpunk sci-fi way. I finally ascended to the hovel, that's what I lovingly call my SRO, this SRO I've been living in since January 1st, 1983, hovel instead of home, and the first thing I do is check the time, 9:14, and I seat myself before my Lenovo 100S notebook, which found a new home barely 2 months back, perched upon my octagonal cabinet. It's maybe 25, 26, 27 inches high, with just enough room atop to include a mouse and a dinner plate or bowl. As I began to type out a report of the preceding 10 minutes, that is, my latest Larkin encounter, the visage of Larkin's two rosy cheeks floated into my thoughts. He's never had ruddy cheeks before, I mused. It is so not Larkin. An icy shudder gripped my spine and ran up and down in sickening waves as realization struck me like a meteor. That may not have been Larkin. What with being stoned out of my cranium on some quality strain I just purchased from Billy 2 mornings ago, and how this encounter was more like a blur, it went so fast. Did I really mistake another dude of the same general morphology and facial cues for Larkin? Was it actually wishful thinking so potent I stepped into a parallel world of my own making for a scant 48 seconds? And if it wasn't him, what the fuck was he thinking, glaring back at me, not once but twice, glaring back at me from across a pedestrian-packed crosswalk? Those damned scarlet cheeks. I get it. He's throwing me off the track by putting some makeup on his face like a drag queen. Rouge. Setting me up to begin doubting that even was him as memory of the episode sinks deeper into my twin hemispheres. After further pondering, I began to feel relieved as I reminded myself that Larkin glancing back at me, not once but twice, mind you, was his signal to reassure me that, yes, this is indeed my Larkin, for he has done this before in previous adventures. He wouldn't have stopped and gazed back at me 2 times, the second to drive the message home, unless he already surmised that doubts would come to surface. My relief was, alas, short-lived, for a new doubt arose in my psyche. in the image of an irate stranger looking back at me, wondering if he should return to smack me around. An angel must have been watching over me if my conjecture that he's not Larkin is true, for he thought strongly twice of assaulting me before something turned him away. Perhaps it's all Larkin, for his shamanic sorcery is stupendously powerful and infinitely clever, surely more than up to the challenge of shifting his appearance in subtle ways and controlling his behavior in a certain manner as to make me think of the stranger theory in the first place. I'd know his voice anywhere, which makes it crystal clear as to why he didn't utter so much as a syllable, yet a stranger probably would. So this is a second clue that this rogue is indeed Mr. Kelsey. Then again, on the other hand, thus I'm stuck in some sort of temporal purgatory, still wondering if that really was he who lights my path with rays of emerald or not. And that was called Rays of Emerald by Zeke Kralin.